Blog Talk Radio. strong in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of the choir, that you may be able to stand the trial. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers.
And now, Voices of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Yahuwah.
Live Yahuwah's radio, fifth day of the feast of Yahuwah called Tabernacle. This is the fifth day, Seed Royal, fifth day of Yahuwah's feast that's called Tabernacle, tents and booths and all that stuff. This is the fifth day, so we're going to throw down international side and see who all join us on the fifth day. Remember, his time starts in the evening, so the day in the Bible starts in the evening, early part of the morning is when the sun sets. That's the early part. All right, so this is the fifth day of Feast of Tabernacle. And we're going to stroll down the international side and see who all join us and see what we can get going on the fifth day of Tabernacle. On the international side, all the flocks are filled. That's 195 international countries, and that's a great thing. And what's flashing on the international side? 111072. 111072. And we'll bring an IOTA in. He'll tell you all about the 111072. 195 international countries. Remember one thing, the fifth day, City Radio. Not information to bring to the table. Remember, on that seventh day. But when the sun sets, you'll be in the eighth day, and you will be in what's called a new beginning. And all that will be broke down. What do new beginnings mean? See, with new beginning, you just point back to what was going on in the Garden of Eden on the eighth day. So if those that make it in that new beginning, the new beginning will be the foundation of what went on in the Garden. And that's when the Father is back. So whatever was going on in the beginning, that's what it means by the eighth day of new beginning. Whatever's going on back there in the Garden, that's the way it's going to be. As a matter of fact, we're about to bring out a couple of steps to pertain to that as time unravels. So we're going to bring in our elder and bring him in, and he'll tell you who bring this broadcast, and we'll get ready for one thing, Steve, right? This ministry here is to teach and guide you through information that have been hid from you and exactly as it talks about the days of old. Days of old. We'll bring all that out shortly. And that's exactly where you're going back into the days of old. According to whatever happened in the Garden, that is your new beginning. But really it is a old beginning. All right, let's bring our elder in and bring him in and see what's going on. And when you meet the elder with a loud voice, you say, "Elder Mr. Tibbs, Yahuwah beat you that scene right."
And Yahuwah bless you, Seer Israel of Seed Royal. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Well, we got a fine audience on the international side. All the six gates have opened up. Remember, all classes start when the sun set, but we come on this radio on these feast days around about this time, about 7:30. We prepared to take care of Yahuwah's business, 195 international countries, 111072 is flashing. So whatever you got to tell the 111072, Elder Mr. Tibbs, you're on the clock. Come on.
Once again, Yahuwah bless you, Seer Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. Looks like another increasing number of attending people to listen to the word of Yahuwah and the information that we have to give. 111,072 people have came to listen to the word of Yahuwah and the information that we have to pass out. And that's a good thing. One of the things we were talking about yesterday, we'll make a short recap on it. We were talking about bees. They're incredible little creatures. And going to the store and buying a jar of honey off the shelf actually does not teach you about the bees. As I was saying earlier, yesterday, I had occasion to meet a couple of beekeepers that had a few beehives downtown Chicago on the roof of a building that we never knew. And being exposed to them taught me quite a bit and introduced me to other beekeepers that had actual bee farms. We talked about what the bees do in the wintertime, how they keep their queen warm by huddling and performing like a football huddle around the queen and eating the honey that they make during the summer to survive all winter. A slight recap on that to let you know what we had covered yesterday. Now, the second stage of this information is the color of the honey. Sometimes we'll notice that when we get honey and we verify that it is authentic honey, there are different shades of color. Well, you might think, what makes the difference in the color? Darker honey is honey that's either been gathered in the fall or has been gathered from a specific flower, such as a clover light or a buckwheat dark. The color of honey depends on the color of the flower that the bee visits. And besides the pollen they collect from these plants, the bee also needs water, a fresh supply of water. Yeah, that's right. Part of his ingredients for making the nectar for the honey. And that's something that the beekeeper provides to make sure that the bees have plenty of fresh water to do their business. And we also know from yesterday, these bees, they fly from 3 to 5 miles to find what they need and make it back with their own built-in GPS with neurons in their brains that guide them where they have to go. The other thing that we've been seeing with bees, bees have been dying off around the world for a decade now from a phenomenon called colony collapse disorder, or CCD. Maybe many of you have not heard of that, but you can find it on your smartphone, CCD. A third of the U.S. food supply depends on the honeybees. If the U.S. experienced the highest loss of honeybee population so far, you can imagine what would happen with the nation's most beekeepers losing anywhere from 50 to 90% of their bee population. Many of the 6,000 almond orchards in California, they would not be able to find enough bees to pollinate their almond trees at any price. The collapse of the honeybee colonies is probably the most multifactorial, but a major factor and the toxicity of Semitic pesticides. This is something else called mycaloids, which kills insects by attacking their nervous systems. Earlier, a few years ago, the beekeepers and environment groups, they filed a lawsuit against the agency over a failure to protect the bees from toxic pesticides. This could be a pretty serious thing for the entire nation of other worlds also, knowing that what the bees do to help foods get pollinated so they grow. And this study was done by Dr. Mercola, M-E-R-C-O-L-A. For several years now, the scientists have been struggling to determine why bee colonies across the world are disappearing. A phenomenon dubbed by colony collapse disorder, CCD. This is why when you get honey, it is a rare thing to get original honey, and it is to be cherished. As reported by Dan Rabbit, the U.S., it had recently experienced the highest loss of the honeybee population so far, with most of the nation's beekeeper losing anywhere from 50 to 90% of the bee population. The honeybees are perhaps one of the most least recognized workers in the agricultural industry. They contribute over $15 billion in annual agriculture revenue to the U.S. economy alone. As a full one-third of the American food supplies depend on them pollinating crops, as I had mentioned earlier. This is something else you probably didn't know. Just about every fruit and vegetable you can imagine is depend on the pollination services of bees. Apple orchards, for instance, require one colony of bees per acre in order to adequately pollinate. So unless the mysterious disappearance of bees is reversed, major food shortages could be another result that we're looking at besides the atmosphere leaving us, as they mentioned in the news. Another factor is that bees' diets are not exactly health foods. This is something else that you need to pay attention to. But most often consist of junk food in the form of sugar or corn syrup, which do not contain pollen, that stimulates the resistance to disease. Finally, there has been a reduction in the variety of flowers also, which the bees feed on. From multicultural farming and suburban environment, all add up to these factors. What that means, they can't get the pollen they need from a concrete jungle. They have to fly far away to find the flower orchards and others to get the pollen they need. And the other weakened bees, they have an uphill battle. This is what the beekeepers do. Make sure their bees are in healthy shape. Make sure they have good food during the wintertime if they run short. And six of the most common bee predators in the world, that's right, the bee has predators also besides sicknesses. Number one is the bears, are probably the most first thing that comes to your mind. Oh, because a bear gets honey and he's always smashing up the honeycombs. This is the first thing you think about as bee predators. So skunks, you probably know, if a skunk has raided your beehive, there are remnants of bees laying all about the hive. The third one is bee wolves. Better be taking notes, because I have when I first learned about this. Bee wolves, a.k.a. wasps. The bee wolves are also known as wasps. They're nasty little insect predators. They prefer to eat the bees and use them to feed their developing blood-eating babies. Luckily, this predator is only found in certain parts of the world, mostly Africa and Asia. The other is a crab spider. It's no secret that the reason spiders build webs to catch other insects to feast upon. Five, hive beetles. A small hive beetle is another infested bug that infiltrates the beehive and sets up shop there for a healthy home, eating the bees' honey and them also. Six is bee-eater birds. Luckily, this predator is also only found in certain parts of the world, Africa, Asia. So, you know, knowing these things about honey and what the bees have to do in order to produce this honey, knowing what makes the difference in the colors is actually the flower base that they get their pollen from, and getting good water for their water supply. These are things you have to know that I was not aware of years ago. Now you are. This is why I always mention that a teacher can't learn from his students, although you have the bumps and bumps students trying to teach the teacher. But a teacher gains even more knowledge by teaching. A student can also learn if he has big ears and little mouth, possibly learning to teach one day themselves, as this shows well in all the six camps that teach the word of Yahweh. You have to be aware. We came to hear these things that most of us can hear and some listening can never understand. But again, Yahweh's ministry makes all this and more possible for the righteous. Some of us, we came to see things in the Bible through proper teaching that some looking can never find. It's the misinformed that can do none of these things. Some of them can't even find the book of Genesis without the proper instructions. This is why we have to be aware. By knowing the scriptures and the Bible precepts, we are given the knowledge to know that those out there that camouflage their evil or confused teachings and overly loud bump-the-gums contests for their righteous instructions that they call learnings, even using the scriptures as verbal weapons against what most of us know. So we're here to help guide you through these dark times of bad teaching and Christianity, and welcome you for attending Yahweh's ministry that comes to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics, as you just seen. first and foremost, about the King James Bible, about Yahuwah's Word, connecting the Bible books for your biblical education, your health, and foods that you should eat, keeping the Sabbath days. And we do this because you all have not. This is information that you came to seek, and now you have found that which you have sought in the voice of the true Israelites. Tribe Yadav. Open on you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. We don't have a class on Tuesday unless we have a special event. Now, we do have a Sabbath class. Top part of the Sabbath is Friday. Current time starting at 7:30 to 10:30. The bottom part is Saturday. Temple class starts at 12 p.m. Online class starts at 2 to 5 until the members desire to leave. We also have a website address. To use this, open up any search engine on any one of your smart devices. Right on the search line, enter www.tribeyhdh.com. After you click enter, just under the big letter, you'll see choices. One will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. In the other device, you might see menu, but after clicking this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings, and doing so what it tells us in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, your kindred to the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. I always remind everyone that when you do this, to remember that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. Also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated, that you give what's in your mind to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahuwah Live. Also, for building a school, banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Also, while there, don't forget to check that calendar. That will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the feast days that come to us throughout the year. For the live program, this feature is only available during live broadcast time. To get there, type three words on the search line, Yahuwah Radio Live. After you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe Yadav. Click the red live button. As soon as this appears, you'll be right into our live online broadcast. We're also using two email addresses. The first is Tribe, that's TRIBEYHDH at gmail.com. This is to write your written opinions and questions of a biblical subject answer or related topics. The other is YHDHYSRAEL@gmail.com, also for biblical subjects or related topics. We also have a few numbers you can righteously call with Yahuwah in mind. The first is the live conference room number. This is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is the international number where you can call, leave messages on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the 69 accounts of Yahuwah's ministry. Now, if you happen to miss the beginning of our program, you can always listen to the entire show at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. To do this, type in three words, Yahuwah Radio Live, on the search line. After clicking enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe Yadav. Just choose the program that you are late logging into or any previous day that you would like to listen. Now, doing the normal broadcast, we will be simultaneously transmitting on Pal Talk, where the audio is just as smooth as Broad Talk. We'll be listed under ethnic group, African American. Look for Voices of the True Israelites. This is where Yahuwah's Word is also working for your Bible education. Online there to answer any questions about the Bible topics will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with Seer Israel, riding shotgun. We'll take in no comments off topic or any more than two text questions answered at a time. Failure to follow the righteous act, the elder will block or restrict the misuse. And if Broad Talk ends before teaching time, our teaching will continue on Pal Talk. So remember, today is another day, and we're looking at nothing's changed except the number of people that came to hear Yahweh's word, and that's a good thing, like we're doing now. Some that came to commend it, only following by those casting the same word behind their back, what we listen to, wanting to hear their favorite verses in the Bible, and actually taking those meanings totally another way, along with the noisemakers, complainers, the deceptive listener. Can't forget the page flippers. Look like they're paying attention, but when they're called to speak, completely lost. You have to remember when doing this, we can only do 100% of what one man or one woman can do. And time is not in our favor. If anyone ever says they've done more than 100%, they just lie. They're doing work past Yahweh's creation. That's impossible. So to find out what our possibilities will be in the word of Yahweh, let's keep our Bibles open. Take notes. Pass our program back to our seer Israel and say, hallelujah, Yahweh.
All right, hallelujah, Yahweh there. All right, hallelujah, Yahweh. This is the beginning of the fifth day of tabernacles. Remember, all locations, the gates is open. Remember, the feast day is a seven-day feast. And all the gates, all six of the mountain camps is open. Remember one thing. You don't have to question one thing. What's so important about it? We're going to tell you all about it. This is the fifth day, and again, this is Yahweh's day. This is Yahweh's feast day, so one thing about it, you'll make provision. Let you know one thing is ready to go. All locations is open. Call the details where you're located at, and that one thing, stay right here. That's going to unfold exactly what the feast is all about. So we'll leave it like that, but right now, we'll see if we get something going on. This is the fifth day. Remember, it's time starts in the evening time. So all gates is open for all locations. Call the details. And remember one thing. People ask you about some things. It's up to you to respond. They already know the answer anyway. We'll take care of that too. So when you meet your brother with a loud voice, you say, Brother Yahweh Israel, also a teacher and an elder. Yahweh be there, see you right here.
If God bless you, see Israel, I see you, Roy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Brother
Yahweh
Israel, see you, Roy. This is the beginning of the fifth day, so let's see if we get something going on. We don't know what we're going to put on the table yet, but we got a couple of memos on the table, what did he say and how to say it. We'll get all that going on, too, but how about a little Luke chapter 12, verse 12? We start right there. What does it sound like there? Come on.
Book of Luke chapter 12, verse number 12 reads, For the righteous spirit shall teach you the same hour what you ought to say.
That's right, Brother Yahweh Israel. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you it in that very same hour what you ought to say. And we got to believe that. And we do believe that. So we're going to take a look at a few things. See if we can get a few things on the table. You don't even know where to even start at, but Yahweh always let you know where to start at on the fifth day of the feast. Let's run to Leviticus 23 there, Brother Yahweh Israel. We'll pick up verse 33, and let's find out a little something along the way to find out something. We'll start off in, we'll open up and take day 5 of the Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of tabernacle. Take five. We'll start off in Leviticus 23, verse 1 and 33, and we'll read now. Let's see if we get something going on by us. Open up fifth day that starts at night. Leviticus 23, verse 1, and skip down to verse 33. Let's read a little bit until we get our point. You're on the clock. Come on.
Book of Leviticus, chapter 23, verse number 1. Verse number 33 reads, well, Leviticus 23, verse number 1. Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 33. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 34. Speak unto the family of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this 7th month shall be the feast of tabernacles for 7 days unto Yahweh. Verse 35. On the first day shall be a righteous gathering. You shall do no surveil work therein. Verse 36. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yahuwah. On the 8th day shall be a righteous gathering. And you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yahuwah. It is a solemn gathering. You shall do no surveil work therein. Verse 37.
All right, hold right there. Hey, hold it right there, right there. Now, right there, that 8 day. That 8 day, you make an offering made by fire. Now that's a great point right there. So now, right there, let's see if we do a little precept. Right there, on the eighth day, you make an offering made by fire. Now, we want to precept that and see exactly what is you talking about. Make an offering made by fire. Let's run to Jeremiah 5:14 for a minute there, bro. Let's see what he's talking about. Make an offering made by fire on the eighth day. Because one thing about this eighth day, it's going to tell of something real big. But I want to look at that offering made by fire. What's that supposed to mean by looking at 5:14 of Jeremiah?
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 5, verse number 14 reads. Book of Jeremiah 5, verse number 14. But for thus saith Yahuwah, Yahuwah of hosts, because you speak this word, yo, I will make my words in your mouth fire. This people would, and they shall devour them.
Okay. So the Bible has a 42:24. What do it say in 42:24 there, brother Yahshua Israel? 42:24 backed up with Issachar boy and 6:11. So, you know, we got to lay a little foundation down, Cody. We got to make sure this ministry finally put on exactly what needs to be said. But you have to do it spirit-led by just saying Yahuwah. So now, what are you reading again, Brother Yahshua Israel?
The book of Sirach, chapter 42. Verse 24. Because Sirach 42:24 reads, all things are double, one against another.
All right. So all things is double, one against another. So now, before Issachar boy got up in there and said something in 6:11, we got to go back to what the seer said. The seer said something in 13:38. What did the seer say in 13:38 of 2nd Ezra? So we read about on this eighth day, you got to make a fiery sacrifice. Is that what we read that Moses of Israel?
No.
Is that what we read? So somebody has to be able to break this thing down. And he's going to give it to the ministry. And then sooner or later, you're going to recognize the signs of the time, exactly what they're talking about. Let's run to a second, Ezra 13, verse 38.
Book of 2nd Ezra, chapter 13, verse 38 reads, 2nd Ezra chapter 13, verse number 38. 2nd Ezra 13, verse 38. I shall lay before them their evil thoughts and the torments wherewith they shall begin to be tormented, which are like unto a flame. He shall destroy them without labor by the Torah instruction, which is like unto a fire.
So what's like unto fire? Any of the what, Brother Yahshua Israel?
The Torah instructions, which is like unto fire.
The Torah instructions. So what he's telling you now, that the offering you made is pertaining to the Torah instructions by this fire. Now let's go to Jeremiah 23. Let's get another witness in it. We're going to Jeremiah 23, above Yahshua Israel. So, see, all that be inside of this book, but you have to wait until the ministry that can soundly, now give me Job again, 6:11. Now give me that Job 6:11 before we go to whatever we just got through saying, Jeremiah 23. What does Job Ishikar's boy say in 6:11?
The book of Job, chapter 11, verse number 6 reads, that he will show thee the secret of wisdom, that they are double to that which he is.
Okay, so when you read the Bible, when you read the Bible, we keep telling you it's not a novel. The Bible has a double meaning. The world will have it one way. Then it will come behind that a ministry to come behind it, and you will recognize when they go back over the same scripture, and then the 24th chapter of Luke will come in. See, and the conversation will be probably in the dark, but it'll be a Luke 24:31-32. This is what happened there, Brother Yahshua Israel. In Luke 24, verse 31-32, can we talk about it?
The book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 31-32 reads. But Luke 24, verse 31. Their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Verse 32. They said one to another, did not our mind burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures?
Yes. So what got to be opened up is the scripture. So that's what got to be opened up. And although the world be reading these verses, but what got to be opened up is the scripture. But it says in Matthew chapter, give me one line right across the top. One line right across the top in Matthew chapter 11, verse 14. So what it says, give me one line across the top of Matthew 11:14. What does it say 11:14?
The book of Matthew 11, verse number 14 reads, and if you will receive it.
If you will receive it. But see, that's what we're saying. You have to receive this, but he's not going to let you receive this thing if Mark chapter 4, verse 9 through 11. See, if you can receive it, that means you cannot be a Mark chapter 4, verse 9 through 11, because everything we saying will be parables to you. So Yahweh have already laid that out. So that's why you have to examine yourself in the 13th chapter, verse 5 through 8. You examine yourself and see if you in the covenant. So we found out that fiery offering is to turn into the Torah instruction. And that's what you're going to be judged with. Hold that point. This is what a rabbit out of here. Give me a verse real quick. Give me one verse. Give me the 12th chapter, verse 46 and 47 of St. John. One verse. One verse.
12, 46, and 47.
Give me that out the way.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
John, chapter 12, verses 46 and 47. Mm-hmm. Verse 46. I am come a light unto the world.
Right.
That whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness.
Right.
47. And if any man or woman hear my words and believe not, I judge him or her not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world.
Read verse 48.
He that reject me and receive not my words has one that judges him or her. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him or her in the last day.
Excellent. Right there. So what we're showing you, what this fiery testimony, if you can receive it, is this is what's going to judge you in the last day. See, what we're telling you is what's going to judge you in the last days is this word. This is the fire he's talking about when you make your fiery testimony, because this is what's going to judge you in the last day. Now, brother, y'all got to hold that part right there and back up to number 30, verse 1 and 2. I know. It's a little deep. We understand that. But it's a little deep because of what he got written in number 30, verse 1 and 2. They come back to Mark. They come right back to Mark, chapter 4, 9 through 11. This is just not another ministry. This is the ministry to unlock what has been hidden from you. It's in there, but you got to watch the ministry that brings it out on the same scriptures that have been read, like a lot of them say, well, you know, I search for such a thing, I don't see it. Well, it's the reason why you don't see it. It's a certain mindset you got to have and the order of things you got to be in to be able to receive it. And see, now, once you're in that mindset, then Yahweh will give you a 334. St. John, he'll open up to you like a vessel of water coming up once you're in the right mindset. Then he will show it to you. He'll give it to you without measure according to St. John 334. So what Lord said that brother Yahweh Israel in number 30, verse 1 and 2.
The book of Numbers 30, verse number 1, verse number 2 reads, Numbers 30, verse number 1, and Moses spake unto the head of the tribe concerning the family of Israel, saying, this is the thing which Yahweh have commanded. Verse 2, if a man vow a vow to Yahweh, or swear an oath to bind himself with a bond, they shall not break their word, they shall do according to all that proceeds out of their mouth.
Right. So whatever the circumstance it is, the Torah instruction is going to be what judge you in the last day. If you are made any vows, and thus says Yahweh, all them vows that you have made, you cannot break them. If you last to be 100 trillion million years old, and that's the point we're making. Once you make a vow, that's why the testimony is. That's why in all the six locations, we step to give a closing testimony, not knowing that basically Yahweh has set you up to have you make a testimony, and he's going to hold that against you at a time appointed. And read that verse one more time, or Moses read in 12:48. Now, this is what he's saying, see? See, this man right here, he is very... He got this thing laid out, and somebody got to bring it out, and we're going to bring it out. Look at it written in 12:48 of St. John. Listen to this.
St. John, chapter 12, verse 48.
Yeah, what does 12:48 say?
St. John, chapter 12, verse 48. He that reject me and receiveth not my word,
mm-hmm.
has one that judges him.
Right.
And her. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him or her in the last day.
The word is going to be what's going to judge you in the last day. Now, Brother Yahshua Israel, what do you got written in Mark chapter 4, 9 through 11? Listen good. Mark chapter 4, 9 through 11.
Book of Mark 4, verse 9 through 11 reads. Book of Mark chapter 4, verse number 9. And he said unto them, ye that have ears to hear, let them hear. Verse 10, when it was a long day that were about him with the 12, asked of him the parable. Verse number 11, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of Yahweh. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables.
So that's why the world is confused and they do everything, because when you are without, you can have all the good intentions in the world. But the sign of being without is exactly the way he got it written, of being without. Now let's run over to, we had a verse that we in Jeremiah. Let's go to Jeremiah 23. So a lot of time when we be talking, it'll be in parables. Regardless, whatever a person want to hear, they still not understand, so Yahweh is going to let them hear and take it right away from them and keep them confused, because it's the order about the way you have to present yourself before Yahweh. And if you don't present yourself in the order of where Yahweh got written, everything will be into a parable, and you're always going to be confused. And that's just the way it's going to be. Because he made it plain, matter of fact, we read that, but we read in Jeremiah, what he'll do if you in order. 334 St. John. What will he do if you in order, Brother Yahweh Israel? So if you in Yahweh order, this is what he'll do soon as you go through the process of doing what he got written. This is what he'll do in 334 St. John.
Book of St. John, chapter 3, verse number 34 reads. St. John 3, verse 34. For whom Yahweh have sent, speaking the words of Yahweh, for Yahweh giving out the Spirit by measure unto them.
Mm-hmm. So once you said by Yahweh, what you're going to speak is the words of Yahweh. So we'll know as soon as you open the mouth up who is working with you, because if you sent by Yahweh, he will give you the understanding of the word of Yahweh. Because he says, you read a verse that it was a secret. Secret since the foundation of the world. But then, before we read Jeremiah, but what did he say about the secret in Revelation 10, verse 7? What he said about the secret there, Brother Yahshua Israel, the secret, a mystery, he made it plain. And what he says in Revelation 10, verse 7, on the secret, the mystery of the fiery testimony, pointing towards the Torah. But he says something in 10, verse 7 of Revelation. What did he say?
Look at Revelation 10, verse number 7 reads, but in the days of the voice of the seven ministers' spirit, he shall begin to sound. The mystery should be finished. They have declared to his servants the seal.
Mm-hmm. And it was a prayer to his servant the seal on the right side of the book. Now in the beginning of the seventh trumpet, what's supposed to happen? And when you go back to Isaiah 27, verse 12 and 13. Isaiah 27, verse 12 and 13.
Book of Isaiah 27, verse number 12 and 13.
Yep, Isaiah 27, verse 12 and 13.
Book of Isaiah 27, verse number 12. It shall come to pass in that day that Yahweh shall beat out from the channel of the river to the stream of Mizraim, Egypt, and you shall be gathered one by one, O O you family of Israel. Verse 13. It shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown. They shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria. The outcasts of the land of Mizraim, Egypt, shall worship Yahweh and the righteous mountain, and Yahdah Jew, southern kingdom.
He says, in the days of the seven trumpets, see, and that's what we are now. We're on the fifth now. On the days of the seven trumpets. And then what goes to happen on the days of the seven trumpets in Isaiah 25, verse 8? What goes to happen on the days of the seven trumpets? Isaiah 25, verse 8.
Book of Isaiah 25, verse number 8. You shall swallow up death and victory. Yahweh shall wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off the earth. Yahweh has spoken.
So on the days of the seventh trumpet, he's going to swallow up death. So if he don't swallow up death, then what is he saying? See, after you hear the seventh trumpet, that means Isaiah 26, verse 19. What happened in 26, verse 19?
Book of Isaiah 26, verse 19. A dead man shall live together with my dead body. Shall they arise? Awake and sing, you that dwell in the dust. For your dew is as the dew of earth, and the earth shall cast out the dead.
Is that so? On the seventh trumpet, after the seventh trumpet, whatever that have died, that is righteous or whatever, gonna come up. So death have been cast away. So it's no more death. So once you hear the sound of the seventh trumpet, the whoever that have died, now go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. Let's see what it says. So now we're going to run to Revelation 20, verse 4.
Book of Revelation. Book of Revelation 20.
That's 20, verse.
Verse number 4 reads. Book of Revelation chapter 20. Yeah. Look at Revelation 20, verse number 4. Now some thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yahweh the Son, for the word of Yahweh the Father, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hand. And they lived and reigned with Yahweh the Son 1,000 years.
He saw the dead. So John is reporting that he saw the dead got up. So the dead have got up. So whatever dead have got up. Ain't that something? Now, let's go to Ecclesiastes and find out some more that the dead have got up. And all of that is in that Leviticus 23. That's if you can believe it. What we read, if you can believe it, is all that was written in Leviticus 23, not Ecclesiastes. In a book called Ecclesiastes, there, Brother Yahdai Israel. We go on to Ecclesiastes chapter, let's see what I want. And see, all that is in that one verse. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, this is what he says in verse 18. 18 down, and we'll keep reading until we get our point. Let's pick up at 3:18. Listen good. 3:18, let's see what 3:18 says.
The book of Ecclesiastes chapter. Verse number 18 reads, Book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse number 18.
Thank you.
I said in my mind, concerning the estates of the sons of men, that Yahweh might manifest them, that they might see that they themselves are beasts.
You know what? So now, you're saying man is beast. So now what we read now is man is beast. And let's see, do man have anything pertaining to anything different by man is beast? And what he said in verse 19, man is beast now. Verse 19.
Verse 19. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them. The one will die of the other. And they have all one breath, so that a man have no preeminence above a beast for all his vanity.
You see that? So when he get ready to raise up man, don't think man got a special ticket that no more than a beast have. So now on the sound of that seventh trumpet, there's no telling what all he gonna raise up, because man is no different from the beast. Man is no different from the beast. The beast and the man is in the same but predicament. So what we just got through reading, that death gonna be swallowed up. So if death is swallowed up, then let's go to Isaiah 65. There, Brother Yahdai Israel. Let's go to Isaiah. So if death swallowed up, and we know the seventh trumpet is going to be the mystery part of it, the seventh trumpet is going to be the mystery part of it. The mystery part of it is the seventh trumpet. So now after the seventh trumpet, whatever dead going to come up. So they're coming up. So now if you're in this eighth day, and the eighth day got where the point that ain't nothing going to die no more, so whatever that's going to be in the eighth day going to be everything that's going to be made live as what? I got to pull a rabbit out of the hat on that. Let's go to Isaiah again. Let's go to Isaiah again, Brother Yahdai Israel. So what are you saying? So all that is in that, everybody that died right will come up in the day called the seventh trumpet. But now if you went up into the eighth day, what is you saying? What is we saying? Let's see, can we find a good answer that's in Isaiah? It talks about a profound statement that in Isaiah, Brother Yahdai Israel, I'm kind of struggling, that something he's going to do in the book of Isaiah, that he's going to bring something back that we need to read. So if you find a verse for me, it's something he's supposed to do in the book of Isaiah. And if you're able to bring it out, you can bring it out, Brother Yahdai Israel. We don't want to say what he's supposed to do, but he shown something that's going to be done. And if you got the verse, you can bring it out there, Brother Yahdai Israel. Because I'm struggling on it right now. You got what I need there, Brother Yahdai Israel?
No, it won't come to me.
Okay, well, what are we talking about? But we want to read it. We want to talk about everything. I get it in Joel, but it's a precept in Isaiah. So as always, I get it in Joel then. I go to Joel, and I get it in the book of Joel first. That's what I do. I get it in the book of Joel first. I grab it out from the book of Joel first. That's what I do. And then you'll find the precept. You bring the precept when you get it. They're coming out of there in Joel chapter 2. And look at verse 3. So you'll find the precept. Mother D.F. might find it. He might be in the big general might find it. I don't know. Somebody bring that verse out. Exactly what's going to happen in Joel chapter 2. I just throw one on the table, but it's two more to work with. In Joel chapter 2, verse 3, what it say?
The book of Joel 2.
Joel 2, verse 3.
Book of Joel 2, verse number 3. A fire devoured before them, and behind them a flame burnt, The land is as the Garden of Eden before them. Behind them, a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them.
So the garden, so it'll be just like the Garden of Eden. So when this thing's restored, it'll be like the Garden of Eden, back restored back to you. So what? And remember, in the Garden of Eden, what was you doing in the Garden of Eden? What was you eating on in the Garden of Eden? What was the climax of the Garden of Eden? It wasn't no death until Adam sinned through his wife by listening. So it wasn't no death. So it's going to be like the Garden of Eden down back over. So that means that whatever was in the garden, Adam didn't have to kill nothing to eat. Kill nothing to eat by being in the garden, right? Right. So now you got a precept on that coming out of Ezekiel. Also there, Brother Yahya Israel. So the precept is in Ezekiel along in Isaiah. So which one are you going to pull out from it? The one in Ezekiel? Ezekiel chapter 36, verse number 30. Thank you, that big general. That's great. We're going to Ezekiel chapter 36. And we'll look at verse number 35. But read 34 and 35. No, read verse 33. Well, since you pulled out anyway, big general, you might as well read that. 36, pick with verse 33.
36, verse 33.
Yeah, pick with 33 down to verse 36.
Ezekiel 36,
verse 33.
Verse 33.
Mm-hmm.
Thus said
Yahweh,
yep. In the days that I shall have cleansed you from all your inequality.
Your sin. So I'm gonna cleanse you from your sin. So there's a day coming, I'm going to cleanse you from your sin. That's what he said. Go ahead.
From all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the way shall be built.
Okay. And the way city shall be built, right? Go ahead.
34. And the desolate land shall be filled.
Right.
Whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by.
So right. So everything is where the true land of where everything was at is a desolate, is a desert. It's not down in a valley. You got it all laid out where it's nothing there. Go ahead.
35.
What?
And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden.
Oh, and this land that's desert, it became like the what?
Garden of Eden.
The Garden of Eden. It became like the Garden of Eden. Go ahead.
And the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become famine.
And the desert and the... Oh, so everything that'll happen... That on the right side, it became back like the Garden of Eden. And in the Garden of Eden, what was not going on? What was not going on in the Garden of Eden? It was nobody doing nothing of killing. It was no eating. It was no eating. Nothing that was that you got to go catch, because everything will go back. The verse number 33. Brother Yahdai, read that again, Brother Yahdai, Israel, verse 33.
The book of Ezekiel.
Yeah, same verse, 36, 33.
Book of Ezekiel 36, verse 33 reads, "The save Yahweh, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your sin, I will also cause you to dwell in the city, and the waste shall be built."
You see that? You see that? So there is that. So that's the mystery that the only one that's going to be revealed this thing, that whatever you did after you raised from the dead, you will not have the gene
of a killing mode, because if everything that's of death don't die anymore. So how can you think you was for the night I'm gonna eat fried this or this right here? Because ain't nothing gonna die anymore. When you go off into the eighth day, won't nothing die anymore. That's what he's saying. So now that's the mystery that will be revealed by the sixth anointed camp. So on that eighth day, he's talking about that eighth day. So if you rehearse in the eighth day, you would not rehearse the eighth day by bringing some buffalo fish or steak, because the buffalo ain't going to die no more. The fish ain't going to die no more.
Excuse me.
I'm
stuck in the bathroom.
Yeah,
you can't slide it.
Brother Yagda, take it from there. I got to take that something inside the tip of sight. So let me so we clear and let me see. Mother E is on the line, so you could, with Mother E, I take a temporary break just for a second. So, Brother Yacht got here, grab it from right there.
Yeah.
Grab it from right there, and Yacht, I'll be with you.
All right. Yacht, I'll be with you, Mother E, Israel, I'll see you, Roy.
Well, happy.
Yahweh bless you, but Yahweh is real, because you are, and then Yahweh.
I say we take our time and get one or two in. Let's peep at the book of Isaiah right quick. Mother, let's look at Isaiah chapter 66 right quick. Let's see if we can continue down this line of peace. Look at Isaiah chapter 66. And let's pick it up at verse number Isaiah 66. Is that the one I want? Is that Isaiah 65? Let's pick it up at verse number 14, Mother E. Israel, Mother E. Israel of Seroy. Let's look at Isaiah 65. Let's pick it up at verse number 15. And let's read all the way down to verse 25.
Book of Isaiah, chapter 65, verses 15 to 25. Book of Isaiah, chapter 65, verse 15 to 25. Verse 15. And you shall leave your name for a curse unto your toes, for the Yahweh shall threaten and call his servant by another name. Verse 16, that he who blessed himself in the earth shall bless himself in Yahweh of truth. And he that swears in the earth shall swear by the Yahweh of truth. Because the former troubles are forgotten, because they are healed from mine eyes. Verse 17. For I behold, I create new heaven and new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. Verse 18. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I created. For behold, I created Jerusalem, the southern kingdom, a rejoicing, and her teaching a joy. Verse 19, and I will rejoice in Yahweh Judah, the southern kingdom, and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Verse 20, there shall be no more, sin and interest of days, nor an old man that had not filled his days. But the children shall die and 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. Verse 21, and they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit thereof them. Verse 22, they shall not deal and another inhabit. They shall not plant another eat. For as the day of a tree, or the day of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the works of their hands. Verse 23, they shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth, for they are the seed of the flesh of the Yahweh, and their offspring will sin. Verse 24, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Verse 25, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my righteous mountains, said the Yahweh.
The Yahweh said that he was going to make all things new, and he was going to see what he's talking about, Mother. Let's run to the book of Acts right quick. See what he referred to here. Let's run to Acts chapter 3 right quick. Mother, eat Israel. See Royal. Keep it Acts chapter 3. And let's pick it up at verse number 19. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verse number 19.
Acts chapter 3. Verse 19
reads,
repent you, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of Yahweh.
There's going to be a time of refreshing, time when all things are made new. And as we read, there's not going to be any death, no killing, and all that good stuff is going to be white. Oh, wait. But let's look at Revelation, Mother. Revelation 21. Let's peep at this. Revelation 21. Pick it up at verse number 1. Look at Revelation 21, Mother Israel. Let's pick it up at verse number 1. Let's read 1 through 7. Revelation 21, Mother E. Verse number 1 through 7.
Book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 through 7.
Yes, ma'am.
Verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea.
Hold on. So John said that he saw a new heaven and a new earth. Let's hold that point, because let's see what John is talking about here, Mother. Let's go to the book of 2 Ezra chapter 6. Let's look at 6 through 9. So he says he's seen a new heaven and a new earth. So let's read the 2 Ezra chapter 6. Mother, E. Israel, C. Royal. Let's peep at verse number 6 through 9.
2 Ezra chapter 6, verses 6 through 9.
Yes, ma'am.
2 Ezra, chapter 6, verse 6 through 9, verse 6. Then did I consider these things, and they all were made through me alone, and through none other. by me also they shall be ended, and by none other. Verse 7. Then answered I and said, what shall be the parting of front of the thing, or when shall be the end of the first and the beginning of it that followed? Verse 8. And he said unto me, from Abraham unto Isaac, when Jacob, Israel, and Esau was born of him, Jacob's hand held fast the heel of Esau. Verse 9. And Esau is the end of the world. And Jacob, whose name is changed to Israel, is the beginning of it that follows.
So Yahweh said he created a new heaven and a new earth. He's not talking about he's going to totally destroy the earth. Let's see if we can pull out a precept in the book of Ecclesiastes, mother, that he's talking that's in a parable form. Talking about the order thing is going to be changed. That's what he mean by when he say a new heaven and a new earth. The order. The things going to be changed, as he said. Esau is the end of the world, and Jacob is that follows. Turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1. Mother Israel, let's peek at this right quick. Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, let's pick it up at verse number. Let me write over there right quick so I can see what I'm looking for. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1. Pick it up at verse number 1, Mother E. Ecclesiastes 1, verse number 1. We're going to read down to verse number 4. Ecclesiastes 1. Verse 1 through 4, Mother E. Israel, the CEO wrote.
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Verse 1, the word of the preacher, the word of the teacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem, not Judah. Verse 2, vanity of vanity, said the teacher, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Verse 3, what profit has a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? Verse 4, one generation passes away and another generation comes, but the earth abideth forever.
Paul said that this earth is going to be here, it abideth forever. Then we get a second witness concerning the fact, mother. When Yahweh say he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth, he's not talking about the planet per se. He's talking about things are going to be rearranged. The order of things is going to be rearranged. Let's run to the book of Psalm 119. Let's look at verse number 90. Mother Israel of Seed Roy. Revelation 19. 119, verse number 90.
Revelation 1 and verse 19.
I mean, Psalm, my fault. Psalm 119, verse number 90. Brother E. Israel of C. Roy. Psalm 119, verse 90.
Psalm 119, verse 9.
Read 89 and 90. 89 and 90.
89 and 90. Forever, O Yahweh, thy word is ever in heaven. 90. Thy fatness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth.
Thy faithfulness. thy faithfulness.
Okay. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thus hast established the earth, and it abides.
So he established the earth, and it shall abide. Right to Psalm 104, Mother. Psalm 104. Let's get another witness concerning the matter, then we're going to get back on the scheduled programming. Psalm 104, verse number 5, Mother Israel. Let's see what that say. Psalm 104, verse number 5.
Okay. Psalm 104, verse 5 reads.
Mm-hmm.
Psalm 104, verse 5. Who laid the foundation of the earth that it should not be removed forever?
So he said he laid the foundation of the earth and it shall not be moved forever. I have one move that I wanted to peep at, but it evades me at the moment.
Go ahead. Knock it out. Excellent.
All right, so you come on back in here. Come on.
Hallelujah. Go ahead and put that verse on. I'm taking notes on it. Go ahead and put it on there.
Let's go back to that Revelation, Mother. Revelation chapter 21, 1 through 7. So when Yahweh say you make a new heaven and a new earth, find that the earth, the planet is going to be here forever. He's talking about it's going to be a new order of things, as we read. Esau is the end of the world, and Israel is that follows. Let's look at Revelation chapter 21, 1 through 7. Mother E. Israel, of C. Roy.
The book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 through 7, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. Verse 2. And I, John, saw the righteous city, New Jerusalem, coming down.
New.
And I, John, saw the righteous city. The new Judah coming down.
Hold that point. Let's see if we can make it a little bit clearer there. Turn to the book of Luke chapter 1, Mother, right quick. Let's look at verse number 32 and 33. Let's see where the seat of power is going to be in this new order of things, Mother. Luke chapter 1, verse 32 and 33.
Okay. Luke chapter 1.
Verse 32. 33.
Luke chapter 1, verse 32 and verse 33.
Yes,
Luke
ma'am.
Chapter 1, verse 32. Luke chapter 1, verse 32. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the High, and the Yahweh shall give unto him the throne of his father David.
So he said he's going to give to him the throne of his father David. Come on.
Verse 33.
Mm-hmm.
And he shall reign over the family of Jacob, Judah, over the family of Israel forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end.
So he's going to reign over the family of Israel. He said he's going to give him the seat of the throne of his father David. So let's see where David spent the bulk of his time in his rulership in the book of 1 Kings, Mother. Let's see where David's throne was established in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 2. Let's peep at verse 10 and verse number 11. 1 Kings, chapter 2, verse 10, verse number 11. Of the Israel of C. Roy.
1 Kings, chapter 2, Verse 10 and verse 11.
Yes, ma'am.
First Kings chapter 2.
Book of First Kings chapter 2, verse number 10 and verse number 11. Mother E. Israel, C. Royal.
First Kings chapter 2, verse 10 and verse 11. Verse 10.
Yes, ma'am.
So David slept with his father and was buried in the city of David.
Mm-hmm.
And the day that David reigned over Israel were 40 years. 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron. And 33 years reigned he in the southern kingdom.
So his throne was established in the southern kingdom, Yahdah-Jush. You ready? See Israel, see Roy.
Yahweh.
All right. Then.
Yeah, I'm listening. That's what it's all about. So I want to look at, we find out one thing that this feast day going off into this eighth day, but we're in the fifth day of this feast day. And we got to make sure when he read about the eighth day, you got to look for all the surprises of the beginning. As a matter of fact, Big General, look at that verse in the book of 48, verse number 4 of Isaiah. Look at 48, verse 4. Well, see, one thing about this Bible is, like I keep saying, it's not a novel. And these days, it's very important to understand that all these signs is pointing towards something, but you have to understand, you have to be in the right spirit to really see the urgency of knowing this to pass it on to your loved ones. Let's see what it says in 48, verse 4 there, Big General.
Isaiah 48,
verse 4. Hear what it says.
Because I knew that thou art obstinate.
Yep.
Obstinate, and thy neck is an iron sinew.
Yep.
And thy brow brass fire.
Mm-hmm.
I have even from the beginning declared it to thee before it came to pass.
So I already declared exactly what's going to happen from the beginning. I'm telling you about the end of this thing from the beginning. I already declared it. It's already written exactly. That's why it's so important to understand about when you're going off into this feast day of Tabernacle. Now, Brother Yahya, come back. And Big General, have me Isaiah 65. Have me at verse 20. Wait, no. But come on back to Brother Yahya. Come on back to that Leviticus. Again, 23, Brother Yahya Israel. Go back to Leviticus 23 and pick up that verse number of, what are you up on? In Leviticus 23, Brother Yahya Israel, what you leave up on?
Verse number
30.
I believe it was verse number 36, I believe, yeah.
Okay, what 36 say?
The book of Leviticus, chapter 23, verse 36 reads, 7 days you shall offer an offering made. 7 days shall you offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. On the eighth day.
Now, stop it there. Hold that for a minute. 7 days you make an offering made by fire. Now, Big General, run over to Jeremiah and find out what you're talking about. Now we're gonna precept that to put your mark on what you had in Isaiah, but run over to the book of Isaiah. When we read the Bible got double meaning. So this 7 days that you're making this offering made, we're going and pick it up at in Jeremiah. We're gonna pick up in Jeremiah. Exactly what he's talking about in 23rd chapter of Big General. We're looking at Isaiah 23, pick up verse number 9.
Isaiah
as also Moses was faithful in all his family.
Yeah, also Moses was faithful in all he was on, go ahead.
Verse 3.
What?
For this man was counted worthy of more honor than Moses, inasmuch as he who has built the family has more honor than the house.
Good. All right, good. Hold that point right there. Now, in general, run to the fourth chapter and pick up verse 1. The book of Hebrews called, Hebrews 4, verse 1. So the son saying he was faithful on what he did, and Moses returned the same favor. He was faithful on what he did. So you got to be faithful on what you're doing to receive what you need coming through Yahweh. There can't be no cameo on what he's saying. Look what he said in the fourth chapter.
Hebrews 4.
Yeah, verse 1. Yeah, 4:1.
Let us therefore fear.
Yeah, let us fear.
Lest they promise, being left us, of entering into his rest.
So what we trying to do is enter into his rest, and we find out his rest will not be until after the seventh trumpet is blown. You got to make it the best way you can, but if you make it past the seventh trumpet, you enter that rest. Go ahead.
Any of you should seem to come short of it.
Yeah.
Two. For unto us was the gospel.
So this covenant was told us. So we were told about what to do and how to pass. Now, we were told exactly what to do according to the first five books. We were told what to do. Go ahead and read.
Preach means taught.
Go ahead.
Okay. For unto us was the
covenant
felt as well as unto them.
Right, but
the word.
But watch what it say about the them.
But the word taught did not profit them.
So it got records showing that although it was told to them in the beginning, but they choked at the same thing we doing right now. Mm-hmm. We cameo this man's business right now. And when he tells you what he wants you to do, you're doing the same thing your fathers and mothers did back there on the left side of the book. When it came down to Sabbath day, feast day, you snuffing at it even as your fathers did. But he's going to tell you what happened to them, and the same thing going to happen to you. Go ahead and read.
But the word taught did not profit them, not being mixed with faith.
So they didn't believe it. They didn't believe it. And we read on that Matthew chapter, 11, 14, that you got to believe this thing. They don't believe it. They don't believe it now that this man got a record on those that is snuffing at the Feast of Tabernacle, which is a seven-day feast of rejoicing. They snuffing at it even to this day. The same thing your father did. But he going to tell you what happened to them is what going to happen to you. Go ahead.
Not being profit.
Right.
I mean, did not profit them. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it.
Right. The one that heard it, they don't believe it. They don't believe it. Now, Moses said, I heard it. I heard what that means. Mm-hmm. Regardless what my left going to do, whatever my right going to do, I heard it. Right. See, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Yahweh, the one that's going to hear this thing, he's going to hear it. And those that's not going to hear it, he's not going to hear it. They're going to snuff at it and continue thinking you can just go on, but he made profound statements. Hey, brother, y'all got Israel. Read what he made in St. John 7, verse 6. What did he say in 7, verse 6 of St. John?
The book of St. John.
Look what he said in 7, verse 6.
The book of St. John 7, verse number 6, read. And your father son said unto them, my time is not yet come. Your time is already, always ready.
Read that again, Father Yahweh Israel.
The book of St. John 7, verse number 6, read. And Yahweh the Son said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready.
He said, your time is already. You don't know when this man going to set you down. You might walk outside, all of a sudden a bear might meet you at your front door. So you don't know when your time is. So he's telling you, don't let him catch you when you don't know your time when he'll catch you down. So what he's telling you to do, he says, I did what my father told me to do it. Moses did it because Moses seen the son do it. We do it because we see what they did. But a lot of people today ain't going to believe this thing. And your time is always ready. He might catch your breath off any given time. So you got to understand something. This is very serious business on what he says in Leviticus 23 about his feast day. He wants you to notice the passing on to your loved one. Now come on back. What was your order, Big General? What was your order?
Isaiah.
Well, now we was on something.
Jeremiah.
We was on something just before that. What were we holding? I was holding Hebrews, right? See, it's all about understand that he's telling you, now Paul came to a great big temple of Southern Kingdom. He let them know the same thing that your forefathers did. You're doing the same thing now, and we're telling you the same thing. You're doing the same thing your forefathers doing. And the same thing happening to them is going to happen to you.
Hebrews 4,
right?
Verse 3.
Yeah, what does it say?
For we which have believed do enter into rest.
So now the ones that believe, what they got coming?
Enter into rest.
So the ones that believe are going to come into rest. If you don't believe this, you don't come with just indignation. But the one believe is going to do what?
Coming to this rest.
Go ahead and read.
As he said. As I have sworn in my wrath.
Okay.
If they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in the
What do you mean by it will finish since the foundation of the world? That means he and I already put together already. He already know what you're going to do. He already know who hit this and who ain't going to hit it. He already know what you're going to do. You ain't surprising him when you drag your feet and stiff your neck on what the man got. He already know. He already know who's going to hit his word and get some urgency about this word because he had everything finished. When?
Yeah.
back into it's the garden. And in the garden where nobody need no weapons of mass destruction to kill anything. You won't have that feeling no more. He told you plainly exactly what you're going to do, Brother Yahdai Israel. He said, if you got any kind of problem in Ezekiel, Brother Yahdai Israel, he said, if you got any kind of problem, this is supposed to do where it is. He got it written in Ezekiel 48. Exactly what you're supposed to do if you make it to where you got to make it to. He got it written. If you make it to the eighth day, this is what you do in the book of Ezekiel 48. This is what you do. He already got it written, told by the seer. Here's what you do. Go to the 47th chapter first there, Brother Yahdai Israel. And look what it says in verse number 7. Ezekiel 47, verse 7.
Book of Ezekiel 47, verse number 7, read. When I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river, very many trees on the one side and on the other.
Verse 8.
They said unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country, go down into the desert, and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed.
Is the water going to be healed? Verse 9 and 13.
It shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. There shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, so they shall be healed. Everything shall live, whether the river come. Verse number 10. It shall come to pass, and it shall come to pass that the fisher shall stand upon it from Ekgadi, even unto Ekgalim. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kind, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. Verse 11.
12 and 13 say?
Verse number 12. By the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not wither.
Wait a minute. All trees going to be for what? What are all trees going to be for?
For meat.
Oh, the meat. So that's what you call steak and chicken. That ain't going to be there. The trees going to be. And we know ain't no steak and chicken growing on trees. So what your meat is going to be on the tree. Oh, who hear that? Your meat will be on the tree. It would not be on in the slaughterhouse anymore. Your meat will be on the tree. So when the eighth day comes, your meat that you bring, it comes from the tree. Who hear that?
I hear.
You hear it?
Yeah.
So the eighth day, your meat comes from the tree. Very.
Neither shall the fruit there be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months. Because their water they issue out of the sanctuary temple. And the fruit there shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for matter. Verse 13.
The fruit will be for meat. And any kind of medicine, it'll be the leaf. So all you want to do is find a tree on whatever ailing you. They're going to take care of your medicine, and what you got to eat will come from a tree. So it is no turkey bacon on the tree. Huh? No turkey bacon on the tree. When you get hungry, you go to the tree. So we're going to rehearse the right back on the eighth day, letting you know when you made the eighth day, you don't look for no eat them up from the restaurants around the corner. It got to come from the tree. Because nothing don't die anymore. Now, come back. Run to Revelation for a minute. And now I'm going to come back to that book in Isaiah, that 66 I had to hear for me, that Isaiah 66. But come back to Revelation. Brother Yahjah Israel. See, the story is told, it just, those that's without would never see this, like your forefathers never seen it anyway. But the story has been told already, exactly, you got to go to the tree to get your meat. So ain't nothing that you can buy wrapped up and you're going to put it on the grill that going to work on the 8th day. So now, in Revelation chapter 21, pick up verse 1. Pick up verse 1, that Brother Yahjah Israel, 21 verse 1. And we'll take it down until we get our point. Revelation 21 verse 1.
Book of Revelation 21, verse number 1 reads. Book of Revelation 21, verse number 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth was passed away. There was no more sea. Verse number 2. And I just saw the righteous city, New Yahjah Judah, coming down from Yahweh out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Verse number 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of Yahweh is with me. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people. And Yahweh himself shall be with them and be their Yahweh. Verse number 4. And Yahweh shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Then shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.
Right there. So no more death. So that means no more death. That means you can't kill nothing anymore. What the, everything is quiet and the Father's coming down. So the Father will look for things to be as the Garden of Eden, where it was quiet. Everybody ate their meat from the trees. No more death anymore. So you can't go out and shoot your bow and arrow and kill nothing. So everything you shoot at, say, why you shoot me with your bow and arrow for? I don't die anymore. Why you cutting on me now? Now, look what it says in 22 verse 1, Brother Yahjah Israel. 22 verse 1.
Revelation 22, verse number 1.
Right.
He said, and he showed me a pure river of water of light, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of Yahweh the Father and of the Lamb. Verse 2.
Yeah.
In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation.
Yeah, so there. So all that you need will be on the tree. So your freezer, you won't need it anymore. There's nothing to freeze, so anything you need, if you make it, you'll get it from the tree. It's for the healing of the body. Now, Big Jim, now we're going back to Isaiah again. Now, we're going to find out something. You tell me what timeline is this. Now, we're going back to Isaiah again, Big General. And we're going to look at this. Now, we got to put our thinking cap on to find out, but what time is this then? And see, is this going on right now? We're going to Isaiah 65. And pick up verse 20. Let's see what's going on. Now, say, well, pick up verse 18, make it sound good. Pick up verse 18, Big General. Verse 18. 65, 18. Listen good. Okay, well, pick up verse 17. Make it 17. Just go and make it sound good.
Isaiah 65, verse 17.
Yeah. What did it say?
For behold, I create new heavens and new earth.
New heaven, new earth. And that's when it's coming down. But it's prophesied by Isaiah.
And the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind.
So the former thing, all that you did in the former, it gonna be erased from your mind.
18.
What?
But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create.
Uh-huh.
For behold, I create Jerusalem.
Polluted for the southern kingdom, Yahdah, Judah.
Polluted for the southern kingdom, Yahdah.
Yep.
A rejoicing and her people a joy.
Oh, and it's going to be a what again?
Joy.
Uh-huh. And?
Joyful.
Is that going on now?
No.
That ain't going on now. That got to come, right? Whatever in verse 19.
19. I will rejoice in Judah.
Right.
Yahdah Judah.
Right.
And joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her.
But we crying all the time. I ain't be crying now. Yeah. So this got to be the come, right? But we always crying. We crying about our paycheck. We always crying about something. We crying about everything now, ain't we? Yeah. So he said, I'm going to take care of that. If you make it where you got to get to, go ahead.
No weeping shall no more be heard in her, nor the voice of crying.
Uh-huh. Revelation 20.
20. There shall be no more death, an infant of days, no more old man that hath not filled his days.
Right.
For the child shall die and 100 years old.
He said, if child will make it, he gonna still be a baby when he turn 100. He gonna lose that babyhood at 100. It's time to come, go ahead.
But the sinner being 100 years old shall be a curse.
Yeah, right. The ones that don't believe none of this thing, he gonna be a curse and he gonna be in that back. Go ahead.
21.
What?
And they shall build houses,
right,
and inhabit them.
Go ahead.
And they shall plant vineyards,
yep,
and eat the fruit of them.
Go ahead.
22. They shall not build.
You're not going to be building for nobody else that somebody else will enjoy. You're not going to be the one on the labor, put everybody's house together, and they move in and give you coming out there, you going about your business. But
they shall not plant and another eat, for as the days of a tree are the days of my people.
Now, you know a tree, you got some trees that down south is still there. They've been there since everybody was there. That's how long you
going to
be around.
And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands.
Oh, his elect. Now, so he said, look, now the one that's going to enjoy this is going to be the who?
The elect.
Go ahead.
23.
What?
They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth the troubles, for they are the seed of the blessed of Yahweh and their offspring with them.
Now watch this now.
24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer.
Before you even think about it, you're in trouble, I'm going to answer.
And while they are yet speaking, I will hear.
Now watch this in 25. Give me a little more audio in 25.
25. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together.
Wait a minute. How in the world can a wolf and a lamb feed together? If a wolf be a lamb, what a lamb gonna be in his belly. So that let you know that this gotta be the time to come, a great while to come. The wolf and the lamb gonna feed the devil. So their meat is not gonna be bloody or killing of these. Even the wolf gonna have a different mindset on what to eat. Watch this now.
And the lamb shall eat straw. Like the blood.
Now you go to Brookville Zoo and throw the line of straw, put a steak in your hand, a steak in your hand, one hand, and straw in the other. And which one the line come to, you can tell what position you're in. I bet you come from the what?
Steak.
You come from the steak. But when time to come, in that 8th day, he gonna go for the straw. So we know that they haven't yet had it. Go ahead and read.
And the dust shall be the serpent's meat.
And the dust gonna be the serpent's meat. So you see, that's why it's so important to understand what Yahweh got in his creation. The dust gonna be the serpent's meat. So ain't nobody eat nothing that dies that you can catch and kill. Everybody's mindset will be different. Yours going to the tree, the snake going to the dust on the ground. Y'all see that? So what
are we
saying? Now
what you saying
the next? Go ahead, continue.
They shall not hurt nor destroy
in
all my
righteous mountain and government.
Righteous
so mountain. Wherever my government be at, it will be no more you trying to cut somebody short because ain't nobody dying anymore. So that means nobody is dying anymore. Now come on back, Brother Yahshua Israel, back to the biggest 23. So now you know when you come out that seventh day, you're going into the newness of life, the eighth day. The eighth day is a shadow of letting you know everything no longer existed yet was happening for the first 7,000 years. Now you're back into whatever on a tree going to be for your meat. Now where you left off on the Leviticus 23, Brother Yahshua Israel?
Leviticus 23, verse 37. Leviticus 23, verse 37. These are the feet of Yahuwah, which you shall proclaim to be righteous assemblies. The offering offering made by fire to Yahuwah, a burnt offering and
now
a meat offering.
By fire is your testimony. The offering made by fire is your testimony, is your word. Because when you've been made it, and you had 8 days, you will have a fiery testimony. Hallelujah, bro. So we found out soundly what's going on. So that's why we got to understand something. When you're reading this Bible, you're not reading them. You treat it as a novel, but it let you know step by step what will happen after the 7 days. After the 7 days, you're going off into the eighth day, so anything in your mind will be changed to go up into the eighth day. You won't be looking for nothing to shoot at nobody, cut at nobody, because anything, if you're sick, you go to the tree. If you want to eat, you go to the tree. See? Come on, Brother Yahshua Israel.
Verse number 38. Beside the Sabbath of Yahuwah, beside your gift, beside all your vows, and beside all your freewill offering, which you give unto Yahuwah. Verse 39, also in the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto Yahuwah 7 days. And the first day shall be a Sabbath. On the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. Verse number 40.
Hold that point, Brother Yahshua Israel. What do they gather to go on the eighth day again? What do they gather again?
On the eighth day shall be a Sabbath.
Now back up a little bit. What do they gather again? Back up also, a little bit more. What?
Also in the 15th day of the 7th month, you have gathered in the fruit of the land.
Oh, you gather in what?
When you gather in the fruit of the land.
That's what you be gathering. You're not going to no store and get nothing that you got to soak the blood out of it and get it right. So you're going off into the new beginning. So all the stuff that come out, the trees that come in the garden, that will be going on the eighth day. You can't kill nothing no more. Your minds have changed. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Verse 39. Until Yahuwah 7 days, on the first day shall be a Sabbath. On the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. Verse number 40. You shall take you on the first day the boughs of a goodly tree, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before Yahuwah your Yahuwah 7 days. Verse 41. You shall keep it a feast unto Yahuwah 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generation. You shall celebrate it in the 7th month. 42. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelite born shall dwell in booths. Verse 43. that your generation may know that I made the family of Israel to dwell in booths, and I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I'm Yahweh your Yahweh. Verse 44, Moses declared unto the family of Israel the feet of Yahweh.
So that feast of tabernacle is to let you, that I made you dwell in temporary shelter, preparing you for a big comeback home to the God. So that's why you was out in the wilderness and the shelters, because I'm preparing you to come back home that where you left off at. We can go further on that, but we're not. Brother Yahweh Israel now. Let's go to our 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. And then we'll be able to clock this thing as it unfolds in 1 Corinthians 14. So by going to the 14th chapter, we'll be able to start clocking this thing. We can be understanding what's going on. In 1 Corinthians 14, it's going to tell us something around about verse 48. Let's see what it says about 14. Is that what I want? Let's see. 14. Let's see what I want. In the 14th chapter, we want to pick up around about, well, yeah. Make that the 2nd Corinthians. Is that right? Which one we want? You'll make that 2nd Corinthians, right? What are we looking for? 1st Corinthians? Yeah. We're looking for 1st Corinthians. Want to find out what we're looking for. We're looking for something in 1st Corinthians around about what? What are we looking for? 1 Corinthians, pick it around about 15. Make it 15 there, Brother Yahweh Israel. Pick it up around about verse 50. 50 down to verse 58. And you tell the story. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50, down to verse 58. Listen to what it says here.
The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verse number 50 reads. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. 58, verse 50. And this I say, brothers, sisters, the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. Neither the corrupted inherit incorruption. Verse 51.
Hold that point right there. Hold that point right there. So flesh and blood, the body we have right now, would not be the body that goes off into the kingdom. So when we go up into the kingdom, we not have these bodies right here. Now back up our big journey to Philippians chapter 3. Let me show you what's about to happen behind that. So what you're looking at right now, this body right here, it requires all that stuff that we're doing right now. But the body that you're going to have going to the kingdom will not be the same body that you have. It'll be a body more disciplined, and what you desire for, you won't desire for that no more, but your body won't be in change. Philippians chapter 3, figure verse 20 and 21. Philippians 3, Big General.
Philippians.
Chapter 3.
Chapter 3.
Verse 20 and 21.
Verse 20 and 21.
Yeah, what does it say?
20. For our conversation is in heaven.
So our conversation is in heaven. Go ahead.
From whence we also look for the Savior, Yahweh.
Right. Right.
21.
Right.
Who shall change our vile body?
So he gonna do what with these bodies?
Change.
So he gonna change these bodies. This body would not, you won't have the desire for what you do every day by going to your freezer. He gonna change this body. This body would not, it would not have the components where you have this type of blood, and the blood system, you will not need it anymore. He can remove that from you. So you're not going to have the problems that you're having then. And that's why it's so important to understand that this got to be changed. Your mindset, your body going to be changed. Remember, Eve said when she seen, when y'all walked with the fish, she said, this ain't nothing but this animal flesh we got. So she was very disappointed on what she was changed to be. But we all in the mirror and we love it. But she was very disappointed. She said, we animal flush. We got to do what the animals eat. We got to be eating and drinking and all that kind of stuff. See? Go ahead and read. We'll change his body. Go ahead.
Who shall change our body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself.
Right. So he's going to change his vile body. So if you make it to the eighth day, you have a change of body. You have the same body, but it's a change of body. It won't require what you're doing now. It won't require it if you make it to the eighth day. Once I raise you back from the dead, you will have a new mindset, a new body. You won't be looking for to catch no chickens. Huh? You know, so beef egg bouillon. You don't be wanting none of that. You ain't gonna be looking for no beef egg bouillon then. You know your mindset is just go to the tree and get whatever you need, but you have to be changed on that eighth day. And you'll get everything ready. And we're going to spring you, Brother Yahdiah. Get ready. We'll get a couple of them. We'll spring you. And we'll run this on in. And then we'll get you to feasting. Come up shortly. So now, we find out right now that this body got to be changed. So the reason why we so dumbfounded about what you mean about the eighth day, because you got to be taught that the eighth day, your body will be changed. It will not be looking for what you look for today. As Adam and Eve, before they sinned, they wasn't worrying about what was what they're going to eat. What they're going to get. As a matter of fact, they didn't even drink no water. They weren't drinking nothing. They didn't have a desire to drink nothing. He said, now, since your body animal flesh, it requires water. Before Adam and Eve sinned, the body didn't even require water. So you want to have that same body coming back to you, not requiring water. If you want to go to the tree and eat something, you don't, you don't. You don't have a desire for it, period. That's what happened in the garden before sin came in. Go back to Brother Yahdiah Israel. Brother Yahdiah Israel, come on back.
Leviticus?
Yeah, now back to that 1 Corinthians 15.
The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verse number 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed.
Yeah. We all going to be changed. That is a mystery. We all going to be changed. What we're looking at right now, it's a mystery to you. You're going to be changed. Go ahead.
Verse 52, the moment in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
Hold that part right there. Now, what is the last trumpet, class?
The seventh trumpet.
So the seventh trumpet, that's when you're going to be changed. If you make it to the seventh trumpet, you won't have the need of what you normally did for the 7,000 years your forefathers did. Because when they sinned in the garden, you lost that ability. You had to now go find things to eat because you were starving. You didn't have that problem before you sinned. And he's going to tell you now, as long as you continue sinning, you're going to keep this problem. But one day, they're going to run out to the point that you will be in that position forever. That's why I tell you right now, in 1 Corinthians, come on, Brother Yahdiah Israel, give us a hug.
Verse number 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. Verse 54.
This mortal immortality. So this mortal got to put, you are mortal, something to die anytime. He going to give you another body that don't die. You got to put on this body after the seventh trumpet. Go ahead.
Verse 54. But when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, This mortal shall have put on immortality. It shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. Death is swallowed up in victory. Verse 55.
You hear that? You hear that? Hold that point. Death is swallowed up in victory. No more death. So it's no more death. Once you have put on that body, you got no more death. So you're not looking for nothing dead. Can't nothing die no more. Death has been swallowed up in victory. And what causes death? Verse 55. What causes death? 55.
Verse 55. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Verse 56.
So grave don't have nothing. Death don't have. Now the grave don't have no more victory. Ain't nobody going to funerals no more. That's over with. The ground, you ain't got, ain't nobody going to come visit you anymore. 56.
Verse 56. The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the Torah instruction.
Ain't that something? Y'all hear that? What got you in this problem of death was sin. What going to get you out of it is coming back to the Torah instruction. What got you into this death mode you're in right now, where you're dying all the time because of you sinning against him, and you sinning against him now. You're not keeping the Sabbath day. You're not keeping the feast day. You're not wearing the fringes. You sin it against him right now. He said, reverse all that back and be prepared for death to be swallowed up in high instruction. And all we do is give you a shadow of this is the way you got to get prepared, because our time is always. Anytime, he might say, I want to wake you up tomorrow night. I want to wake you up. Now go with it. Oh, I forgot you. Where are my friends? I forgot you. It's too late now. That's why we tell you. Get prepared for Yahweh now. Why don't you say it, verse 57?
Verse 57. Thanks be to Yahweh, which giveth us the victory. For our Yahweh. Yahweh the Son. Verse 58.
See,
for my beloved brothers and sisters. Be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of Yahweh. For as much as you know that your laboring is not in vain in Yahweh.
Let's get one more verse there, brother. God, Israel. Give me Romans and Mother D.F. Israel. Have me 1 Corinthians 15, 24 through 28. But come back to Romans chapter 9. Brother Yahdai Israel and Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Now, this is what the man is trying to tell us. He told him something. Paul was building the northern kingdom. He told him something. And look what he tells him in 6 verse 12 down to verse 23. And we'll close out with that, Brother Yahdai Israel. We'll close out with 6, verse 12 to 23. Listen good.
The book of Romans, chapter 6, verse number 12 to 23 reads. Romans 6, verse number 12. Then I see it therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Verse 13. It will yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness. To see it. You yourself under Yahweh as those that are alive from the dead. Your members as instruments of righteousness to Yahweh. Verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under mercy, grace. Verse 15. For then shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace, mercy, Yahweh forbid. Verse 16, know you not that to whom you yield yourself servant to obey, his servant you are to whom you obey, whether sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Verse 17, for Yahweh be thanked that you were the servant of sin, but you have obeyed from the mind that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Verse 18, being then made free from sin, you became the servant of righteousness. Verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmities of your flesh. But you have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness, to sin, unto your sin. Even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness, to Torah instruction, unto righteousness. Verse number 20. When you were the servants of sin, you were free from the Torah instruction, righteousness. Verse 21. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Verse 22. But now being made free from sin and become servants to Yahuwah, you have your fruit unto righteousness and the end everlasting life. Verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of Yahuwah is eternal life. The Yahuwah the Son out. Yahuwah.
So the price we paid is death or sin. The only way we can get out of this death is stop sinning. Because your time gonna run out if you continue to sin and break against, and that's why it's so important on the bonding on the feast day and Sabbath day. Because in the teaching it's a reminder on what position you got to be in to please your Yahuwah. And if you're not in that position to please your Yahuwah, he's going to bind you in the fire. So we tell you in advance. Brother Yahya Israel, what's your closing statement is behind that? Come up.
Hallelujah, Quah, hallelujah, Quah, hallelujah, Quah. Love the way it's rolling out, see Israel, a seed royal. We worship to the four corners of the globe. Praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Excellent. So we're in the fifth day, and we clear we can read exactly what's going to happen, Mother D of Israel. We can read exactly what's going to happen from 15, verse 23. We might have to read 22. And we can walk it right on down to verse 28. See, we can read the storyline. All we got to do is rehearse the storyline. And we'd be on the airways another 30 minutes and we'd be off. And we'd be off into the beaches of eating them up and drinking them up. So now, in the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22 down to verse 28.
1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22 to 28.
Yep.
Verse 22, for as in Adam all died, even so in Yahuwah's Son shall all be made alive.
So in Adam we all died. Yeah. See, Adam caused the death on everybody. But then here comes Yahuwah giving you what's called a grace time period to come back to what happened. When Adam messed up, matter of fact, what did Adam do in 5 verse 12 of Romans. What did Adam do? Romans chapter 5, verse 12. We need to find out. Well, see, in Adam we all died. Let's go find out why what Adam did, why it caused it up. What happened?
Romans
in 5:12. What happened?
Wherefore, as by one man sin.
By one man sin.
Entered into the world.
Yes.
And death by sin, and so death passed upon all men.
You mean one man caused everybody to die? Yes, he raised. When Adam transgressed against what Yahuwah told him, he opened the door for death. Is that what read again there, Big John?
12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world.
Yes.
And death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned.
So death passed on when one man sinned. Now, precept that to 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, Big Jerry. Let's find out what happened. Let's see, if Paul reminded them what happened, He reminded them this. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 13 and 14, he reminded them of something. See, our job is to remind you exactly what caused our problem and remind you how to get out of it, according to the Bible. Let's see, Paul, he was talking to Timothy. He made Timothy a minister. And he told Timothy something in the second chapter, verse number 13 and 14. What did he say?
Second Timothy.
First Timothy.
First Timothy.
2, 13 and 14. What did he say?
Chapter 2, 13, 14.
Well, now listen to this.
For Adam was first formed, then Eve.
Adam was first born, then Eve. Is that what we read?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived.
Wait a minute. Adam was not deceived? Is that what it said? Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived. Is that what we read? Mm-hmm. And what happened next?
But the woman being deceived was in the transgression.
The woman was in the in the sin. The woman was in it. Adam did not transgress. But we're going to find out, well, what did he do then? That he caused all this to happen. Now, what happened? And in May, verse 15.
They say, notwithstanding,
but notwithstanding,
she shall be saved in childbearing.
But she's going to be saved in childbearing.
If they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety.
Yes. Now, she'll be saved in childbearing. Now, childbearing is always a reminder of what your mom did. Now, when you have these babies, you have all type of pains, don't you? And that's a reminder of what you did. So the birth is the reminder of what you did, your mother did way back in the garden. Child pain. So, and every time you have, or that muscle comes, you have all those pains, and that's a reminder of what is, why was this put on me? Okay, it was a reminder for you to go back and see what happened. Why was this put on you? Now, come on back to 3:16 and find out what happened. 3:15. Now this one is a reminder. Every time every month come up, every time you have a child come up, is a reminder of what happened in 3:14. Supposed to be brought to your attention. Well, this is why you have these pains. This is why you have these monthlies. 3:14 down to verse 18. What does it say? Big jump. What does it say? No, back in Genesis. 3:14. So all this is a reminder. Child pain, child bearing is a reminder of what happened in 3:14 to 18 in
Genesis 3:14 to 18.
What does it say?
And Yahweh said unto the serpent,
what?
Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast on the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go.
So he said, now, what you did, you have the mentality of a snake, a serpent. You're going to be so low, you're going to be on your belly the way you going to travel from this point on. Is that you're going to be just like old snake, old devil. Huh? Since you did this, what did you do? Next verse.
15.
What happened?
And I will put enmity.
I'm going to put enmity.
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 Between thee and the woman.
And I'm going to put enmity between you, and I'm going to put enmity between the woman.
And between thy seed and her seed.
And the woman's seed and thy seed. So it's always going to be an enmity between what's called righteous and unrighteous. Them two seeds. They all gonna be in a battle where I won't do this righteous, where I won't do some unrighteous. Help me out, Mother D.F. Israel. Go to Micah chapter 5. See, you will have this spirit, you will have two spirits on the table. And one in Micah. This is gonna be a spirit that you gotta recognize. This will be a spirit that will be on the table in Micah chapter 3. Verse 1. It's going to be a spirit that's going to be on the table that we can read. We're going to Micah chapter 2, verse 1. Let's see what kind of spirit we're going to be talking about. 2:1.
Micah chapter 2, verse 1.
What does it say?
Woe to them that devise things.
Yep.
And work evil upon their bed.
They work evil on their bed. Go ahead.
When the morning is light.
When the morning is light.
They practice it.
They practice it.
Because it is in the power of their hands.
Go ahead.
Verse 2. And they cover fields.
Yeah.
And take them by violence.
Mm-hmm.
And families. And take them away. So they oppress a man and his family, even a man and his heritage.
3.
Therefore, thus says Yahweh, behold, against this family do I devise an evil from which you shall not remove your neck, neither shall you go haughty, for this time is evil.
Right. So the point he's saying, it's going to be another seed that they ain't going to rest until they cause somebody to be in chaos. All on their mind is see what they can come up with to keep everybody on pins and needles. It's going to be that seed. Then it's going to be another seed that's trying to tell you, back away from this guy. So they're all going to be in a clash. An unrighteous seed and a seed, they're all going to be clashing against one against another. One going to tell you, keep Sunday, the other gonna tell you keep Saturday. You all gonna have that crash. Now come on back, that general. Yeah. Dang that general. So we got the point that it's always gonna be a clash between righteousness and unrighteousness. They always gonna be at an odds against each other. Go ahead. Last 20 minutes.
3:15.
Yep.
Genesis. And Abram said, behold, to me.
3:15.
Genesis. 3:15. Genesis.
Yep.
And I will put. Put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed.
Right.
It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
Right. So it's always going to be a problem against righteousness and unrighteousness. It they going to never see eye to eye on anything. That's why you have to be clear about some things. Because when you're in a relationship, you can't see eye to eye about nothing. Give me a... Preach up there 25 verse 1 there, Mother D up Israel, Sarai. 25 verse 1. So when you, even when you're in a relationship, if you in a relationship, if it's not based upon 25 verse 1, what it say?
Sarai chapter 25 verse 1.
What it say?
In three things I was beautified.
It's the three things I was beautified.
And stood up beautiful. Both before Yahweh and man.
Come, it's a vote between Yahweh and man. So this is a three thing, that's serious. Three is serious, serious business. What do you say?
The unity of brethren.
So first thing I want to see is the unity of brethren. I want to see brothers come together upon the unity upon the Yahweh. Go ahead.
The love of neighbor.
And love your neighbor as you love yourself. Go ahead.
A man and a wife. That agree together.
And the man and the wife supposed to do what?
Agree together.
Supposed to agree together. That's what they're supposed to be. They're supposed to always be up on the one agreeing together. Is that what we read?
That's what
we read. This is the problem. That's why, and when you get something unrighteous in you, right, you won't have that problem. Y'all never going to see how that. Well, then you go, I ain't going, I'm going to see Frederick Beverly today. You go your way, I go mine. I'll catch you back in the bed when I get back. That's it. See, that flesh going to wear out. You got to come together in the mind. See? And this is what, this is what has been lost from us. The agreement has been lost from us because the order got to be set back up according to the Bible. Come on back there, Big General.
Genesis 3:16.
Unto the woman, he said. Now he zeroed in the woman. Now he gonna took care of Satan himself. He said, you're gonna be Lord Adam from that your point on. That's your life. That's your covenant. So since you start the Lord Adam, I want you to continue to do it until I get back. Then I'm gonna kill you for what you did. So I'm gonna put a covenant on you to make sure you stay low down all the way. So Satan's gonna play his hand all the way on being low down. Great.
I will greatly multiply thy sorrow.
He said, but I'm gonna multiply your sorrow. Yeah, I'm gonna multiply your sorrow. And the sorrow is in childbirth and monthly. So you will have monthly and you will have sorrow and pain, right? Mm-hmm. Is that going on today? So that day is really back. The devil put his place way back here. Not for just that woman, for all women. Mm. Like Adam saying, it came upon everybody. Mm. So what it did back there is on everybody. Mm. Same thing what happened to the woman in the garden. So it's on her now. Mm. Childbirth, crying and hollering. Mm. Mothers, right? Mm. Yeah, right? Yeah. Stairs right here. Go ahead.
It was greatly multiplied that sorrow. And thy conception in sorrow, thou shalt bring forth children. And thy desire shall be to beg thy husband.
But wait a minute. You will bring forth children. And what kind of way are you going to bring forth children again? Back up a little bit. How you going to bring forth children? And what kind of way? Is that happening today?
Yes.
Huh? Boy, you're a whole lot harder. You're when that time comes down. So that's going on now, ain't it? Go ahead.
And sorrow, thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire will be to thy husband.
So that's the first thing, even on the marriage agreement. Before the first thing come as a young couple, whatever, among the six and on the camp, and you ask the question. What is your desire? Well, you know, I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a boss. Well, that's not your first desire. That's not the Bible desire for you. They got to be trained on what the Bible desire is supposed to be. The Bible desire for a woman is supposed to be what? According to your reading. Now read it. What is the woman's first desire supposed to be according to Yahweh?
And their desire shall be to thy husband.
Oh, your desire to be well?
To your husband.
That's going to be your number one desire. Number one desire will be to your husband. Right? Mm-hmm. And what about the next?
And he shall rule over thee.
He will do what?
Rule. Over thee.
What does that word mean, rule? And that's why you've got to make sure the man is a 37:12, because that is the order of Yahweh. So he got to be a Sirach 37:12, Moses of Israel. That's why you got to make sure you raise your babies right, especially the girls. They have know that when you leave from under my roof, that man going to rule over you. So you better make sure I put you in the right line with a man. And the man got to be a 37:12.
Sirach chapter 37:12.
Listen to this.
But be continuously with a Yahweh man, whom you knowest to keep Torah instruction.
So he got something to check him, and what going to check that man is what?
Torah instruction.
The Torah instruction.
Of Yahweh.
See, that's why you got to make sure your daughters understand that I'm getting you prepared for a Yahweh man. Because the Yahweh man is going to be doing the Torah instruction. I'm not getting you ready for Big Bob because he's making $100,000 a year and got a Ferrari out there or something and saying, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. No, you got to be a yacht wallet man because then he got something to check you. Well, checking is the Torah instruction. So when we make our mistake yet, we mess around and get a man because he sounds good and look good. We got it, but remember what is written in Proverbs 31, verse 1. What's that there, General?
Proverbs
31, verse 1. And that's why we got to understand on what we got to do according to the Bible. And if we do Bible, we're going to be all right for the 8th day.
31.
Yeah, 31, verse 1. And that long name will be another name for Solomon. 31, verse 1 and 10.
Proverbs 31, verse 1 and 10.
Yeah, 1 and 10.
The words of the king.
Emmanuel, that means something. Of no name for Solomon.
Emmanuel.
Solomon.
Yeah. The prophecy that his mother taught him.
So his mother taught him. Not Diego Riddell. His mother taught him. But how long did she do it? Let's back up to the 14th chapter of 2 Kings. Let's see how long do the mother supposed to be doing some teaching. We're going through the Bible saying exactly what's supposed to happen. His mother taught him. Now we're going to 2 Kings to find out how long do mama supposed to do teaching. So we know Solomon come out the womb, his mother was ready there to teach him. Now we're going to look in the Bible in 2 Kings and see what happened next. Let's see if I find 2 Kings around about the 11th chapter, say. 2 Kings the 11th. We have to know these things, and we have to be prepared to understand that if we know these things, we're going to be all right. In 2 Kings chapter 11, is that what I want? Let's see what I want. See what verse 2 is that what I want. 11 verse 2.
2 Kings 11 verse 2.
Let's see what that says.
But Jehoshaphat,
yep,
Jehoshaphat, the daughter of King Jeram,
yep,
sister of Ahazah,
yep,
took the son of Isaiah,
yep, Amaliah,
and stole him from among the king's sons,
right,
which were slain.
Oh, so she taken one of the babies from the king's sons that was slain. So she grabbed a hold of one of them sons, didn't she?
Mm-hmm.
And what did she do with it?
And they hid him, even him and his nurse.
And they hid him and his nurse, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, last 10 minutes.
In the bed chamber from Athaliah.
Mm-hmm.
So that he was not slain.
So one of the sons got away, didn't he?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And what happened in verse 3?
3. And he was with her hid in the house of Yahweh 6 years.
So he was hid somewhere in the temple of Yahweh, the house of Yahweh. How long?
6 years.
6 years, right? Mm-hmm. Then what happened next?
And Athaliah did not reign over the land.
So right now a woman was ruling the land of Israel. So she was ruling the land of Israel, but she thought she had killed every last one of the king's seed. And so she was ruling over the land of Israel. Now what happened in verse 4?
Verse 4. And the 7th year.
Now when the 7th year came.
Jehadiah.
Yeah, that's the high priest, that's the seer. Go ahead.
Sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds with the captains and the guards.
So he went got the rulers over hundreds, and he went got some captains over hundreds, and he went got the guards to do what?
And brought them to tell into the house of Yahweh and made a covenant with them.
Get over here.
And took an oath of them in the house of